with Haunting Ghoulies.
Alright, I have the dastardly duo of Davis Graveyard, Chris and Jeff Davis. Hey guys, thanks for hanging out with me tonight. Do you have your adult bevy handy?
I absolutely do.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Alright, cool. So now, Jeff, you're basically like the front man slash ringleader of the crew, and then Chris is more of the creative genius?
She's kind of the front man and the ringleader, too. I'm just one of the creators in the background.
So you're like
she drug me into this to begin with, because this was all her idea.
I just put him on the camera in the morning, because I'm not a morning person. So he's always the TV crew. I'll be in the afternoon TV crew stuff, and he's in the morning TV crew stuff.
Yeah, I don't mind talking to the TV guys and the news guys, so I'm always I am the face.
You're the figurehead.
Right, but it's definitely all her show, and I always refer to her as the creative genius behind all this stuff.
How did she drag you into this? Like, kicking and screaming, or...?
No, there's a good story for that.
Kind of a funny story. She started out by just putting tombstones in the yard, and funny little tombstones, and she'd carve some and set them up in the yard, and the neighbors would come by at Halloween and say, oh, those are kind of funny, and then we could collect a little crowd. And I really just, oh, that's her thing. I never really paid attention to it. I didn't get involved. And then one year she came to me and said, I saw this thing on the internet that looks really cool. It's called a flying crank ghost. Do you think you could make it? So we looked it up on the internet. I said, oh, yeah, I could probably make that. So I built one, put it all together, and we put it up in the window in our shop that faces the street so everybody can see it when they look at the tombstones. And it was just a huge hit. Everybody was like, oh, that is so cool. That is so cool. And people were talking about it all the time. And I thought, wow, that's kind of fun. So then she came back to me and said, well, maybe you can make some more stuff for me. Let's go look it on the internet, see what else we want to build.
And I had him from then on.
And that was it, boy. Once I learned about that, prop controllers and video projections, I was just in it for the long haul.
To the death.
Yeah, pretty much. Sometimes I think he thinks that's what I'm trying to do to him. I'm trying to kill him with Halloween.
I've always been a woodworker. My dad's a builder, and so whenever she needs, you know, something constructed, so something bigger than a tombstone, I'd whip it out of the wood shop for her and give it to her.
He said whip it out and give it to her.
Yeah.
Dirty,
exactly.
This is a PG-13 show.
Right.
Be careful now.
That's why we like your show, because it's not.
Yeah, it's actually really not PG-13.
No, I don't
really
think it is.
It's really more rated R. Nobody under 18 can be admitted. Okay, so you have four other minions who slave over the haunt with you, right?
They get free lunch and free booze. That's how we get our help. That's what we pay them in.
We'll work for booze.
Yeah. That and free Davis Graveyard swag, so they have, like, you know, jackets with logos and stuff on it, you know. I'm going to give you a free jacket, but I'm going to put the Davis Graveyard logo on it, though.
Davis Graveyard posse. Yo, what up?
Exactly. It's kind of funny. The other thing we started doing this year is we did top hats for everybody. So that's the other way that you're a Davis Grace. That's the other payment we do to her. We even did a Christmas parade recently here in town, and we had our crew all show up with their hats on. And they all go, oh, there's the Davis Graveyard people.
You mean you rode on the float?
But no, we just did a walk. We walked behind some people, so it was kind of cute.
Do you have to carry a bucky or a tombstone or something?
That next year we need to do that.
Make a casket, like a coffin that you
put Santa in it.
Yeah. Put a bucky with a Santa costume on it. See, you can get creative.
They may not ask us back next year if we do that.
What town do you live in? It's not Milwaukee, is it?
Yeah, spelled with an IE in Oregon.
Yeah, in Oregon, because I was watching the video. I'm going, wait a minute, I thought they were in Oregon, and Milwaukee, and what?
Yeah, especially considering going to HauntCon in Milwaukee, too. It was really, my blog entry was from Milwaukee to Milwaukee.
How long has this thing been going on there?
Chris started putting tombstones up in about 1998, so this will be our 11th year.
Probably a little older than that. We used to do just, you know, store-bought stuff, but I started making things a little over 10 years ago.
How did you guys get into haunting? Did you fall off the monkey bars when you were, like, in fourth grade, or get donkey kicked to the temple, or, you know, what happened?
I guess what got us into doing it at our house that we've lived in for the last 20 years was that before we lived in Oregon, we lived in Southern California. We had some friends down there that we convinced to do a haunted house at their house, their garage, walking through their house. We could go home at night and not have to deal with any of that.
And spend their money?
Yeah, spend their money.
All right, awesome.
Back then it was all about, you know, doing the same thing everyone loves doing, scaring everybody that comes through and making really good little scary props and, you know, pneumatic stuff that pops up and scares people. And we had a blast doing that for years. Was a big horror movie fan, and grew up watching horror movies like all the rest of us that are really into this are. Chris is the same way. When we came to Oregon, we thought, well, let's do something with this really cool house that we've got. It's got this great wrought iron fence out front, and we should set something up. So that's kind of how it got started.
And it's kind of how it ended up being a cemetery. The yard really is perfect for a cemetery. So if people say changing your haunt out, and I'm like, I just can't really put a pirate ship in the front of this yard. I mean, it looks like a cemetery. When we were looking at this property, Jeff and I drove up to it, we went, that would make a great cemetery. Seriously, we both said that for Halloween. So it wasn't the major decision for purchasing it, but I bet it had quite a bit to do with the reason we bought the house.
It's hard to find a realtor that will find you a good haunt property.
You don't do pneumatic props and a lot of scares and whatnot, but you really you go for more of a creepy kind of almost, I don't even know if it's elegant. I don't know the right word for it, but...
Stylized, maybe?
Yes, very stylish. Do you have queer eye for the haunt guy come over and...
I go, no. This must go,
fabulous!
This must go. Yes.
I enjoyed the videos that you sent me. I watched the 2007, 2008. I didn't get to the 2006 one.
That's the award-winning video.
Promise you right now that this interview will be better than Joe on the Go from News 12.
Oh, gosh. No kidding. We love him. We love him. He comes by every other year. So
I was watching it, and I'm going, why doesn't he ask any questions? He's not asking him how he built that tombstone. He's not talking about that the Pepper's Ghost or whatever you have in the mausoleum. What's the matter with this frigging guy?
No.
Where's the details? He's not asking, hey, what kind of servos do you have in that three-axis skull up there?
The important questions, yes. Thank you.
Yeah, usually exactly. The expensive servos or the cheaper servos. All right, so as far as you have some of the props you have, I think I have gay feelings for your demon skeletons prop that you made there. That was pretty sweet.
We have to give a shout out to the other Chris on that one.
Yeah, one of our minions' name is Chris, and he's a real artist and sculptor, and he did a lot of the sculpture work on that demon's head, did the horns and the fangs and the little pieces that go into it, and then I just helped him assemble it all and put it together so it would work.
Yeah, you start off with what?
They're called a Bart. There's the smaller skeleton is called a Thrifty, using his shoulder blades and arms for the wings. And then it's got an oversized jaw connected to a normal Bart-sized skull. And then we had to extend the arms, cut them in half, and put dowels in there to make the arms longer so they would reach all the way down.
Yeah, he sits up in the window. If you actually come up to the property, he's sitting in the garage window right now.
Yeah.
We're the weird house in the neighborhood, as you, I'm sure you've guessed.
Yeah, I get that, you know. I get it from me, too. The people are starting to realize that they're like, okay, this guy seemed kind of normal when he moved in here the first year. Now, what the frig is going on over there? You know?
But he peers into your garage and sees skeletons and coffins.
Oh, I wish I had a garage. I have to do everything out of my basement. Yeah, so
we won't tell you about our shop then. People cry.
I've kind of got the idea from the pictures on your site and whatnot. So you guys suck.
Yeah, it used to actually be able to have cars in it, and Jeff used to be able to build furniture, but I don't think he's built me a piece of furniture in 5 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
The Grave Digger. Did you make that latex mold?
It's all pieces from Ghost Ride Productions. Ghost Ride makes a really good latex head. So we invested the money in their rubber latex head. And then they make a body form. So we bought this body form from them. And then we went out to Goodwill and got all the clothes. And then I bought a pan and tilt servo mechanism so the head could nod and turn. And then I used a Prop 1 controller to control it and made it move realistically. And so it just sits there and kind of looks around the yard real slowly. We always get comments about people asking if he's real.
We've even had kids come up and say they swore they watched him walk across the yard one night. And I'm like, really?
That old pervert, he was asking for my number.
Oops, I have to watch that. Going to have a talking to the grave digger.
We kind of treat him like a real person because when he's out there, if it's raining, we put a raincoat on him. When it's not raining, we take the raincoat off.
I made a mud monster reaper, okay? And actually, what do you call them, monks? They're more monks.
Yeah, we're called monks on our end because it's a church, so we call them mud monks.
I was trying to make one. What I did is I took the burlap, because you use burlap, don't you?
Yep.
Okay.
I took the burlap and I put it all over the prop and I set it all up. And I don't think I did this right because I, I used one of those big brushes that you use for putting stain on the side of your house. And I took the monster mud and I kind of slapped it on and covered the entire fabric. And it just doesn't look like fabric anymore, really. I mean, how are you guys doing it?
It takes two people to do them. You have to soak that burlap. So if you've got, some of those pieces are, you know, my monks are 7 feet tall, at least. Some of them are taller, because I want to make them oversized. So I've got these massively long pieces of burlap. So you basically have to take the five-gallon thing of mud, dip the burlap in it, strain it out, and just keep doing that the whole time until the whole entire piece is soaked in monster mud. Put it over, and then I actually do mine are two layers of that. So it's, you pretty much are soaking it into the burlap. And a good thing to do is to make sure you get the burlap wet before you do it because it helps absorb some of the mud. But you have to dip it and not just paint it. It definitely gives you a good upper body workout.
You know, I look back and I said, okay, maybe I should have actually read the directions of somebody who's already done this before I just looked at the pictures and I go, oh, I got that. I got that thing. You know?
Yeah, we've never done that before, ever. Gone, we're going to do that again.
The other thing you got to make sure of is that, because we make so many of them that we buy big rolls and we bought it treated, and treated burlap is soaked in kerosene.
Basically, we made big torches for the yard.
And it doesn't soak up the mud, doesn't work very well.
And they also don't dry. So I had to actually pull apart some of those people, take all their skins off of them and redo them again, because otherwise somebody's going to light a cigarette near one of them. It's going to have a big flaming tiki torch mud man.
You need to get like a big tub to put the mud in to get the fabric in there, or can you just use a bucket and just jam the fabric in there?
Yeah, I just use a bucket and jam and keep, you know, you have to kind of jam some of it in and then I kind of strain some of it out. So you're kind of doing it on a big tarp. So part of it's in and part of it's out when you start getting to the middle. So you've got, you know, part of it that's already been soaked and then you're feeding in more of it and then you're feeding the stuff that's been soaked out of it. So it's kind of like, well, you probably could get a bigger tub, but like I said, some of those pieces are so big that it would be way too big of a tub. I just have gotten a really good habit. And I get, personally get the really long, like cleaning gloves that go way past your elbows, because that stuff is just a pain to get out of anything. So I just get the big gloves in there and I'm just in there working it. And then I get somebody else that helps me put them on them when we're done. Cause they're heavy when you soak them in that much monster mud.
Yeah.
That fabric gets really heavy and hard to pull over.
You do tombstone workshops at the homestead. It looked like from your website you're doing two this year.
Last year the one that we did sold out, so we decided to. And people said, there were a lot of people that said, well, I can't make the one day you're going to do it. So we thought we'd give them two different dates and let people choose.
Yeah. Actually, we're doing that to help pay for the party.
Oh, is that
that's what we call it, the party fund, is we're charging people so we can help pay for the party.
Nice. Or your tombstones. Do you just use paint on your tombstone? Do you use monster mud, dry lock, paint with sand? What's your coating?
All of those are options, but I really just use white styrofoam because it's already pilled anyway, and I just use house paint. I just paint them black and then paint them gray and paint them light gray and then age them. And I just know that every year some are going to get beat up a little bit from moving them in and out, and they're going to get dings in them, but that's fine because it starts to make them look weathered. So next year when I put it out, I just got to touch up the areas that got dinged. But I really just use white foam and house paint. And I'm in the weather. We're in Oregon. It rains most of October. So those guys sit out in the rain. I've had no problems with them. They're my least maintenance prop in the wintertime.
What's your technique for the aging process
after
the paint's on?
Yeah, just after you paint them, I just get a paintbrush out. You can do several. It depends on the tombstone. Sometimes you put a little paint on it and then take the learn this right away. So you spray them first, and then you paint them, and then you spray them again, because otherwise the paint doesn't drip very well.
With water.
Yeah, spray them with water and then paint. But what I've just been doing them for so long, I just take a paintbrush with watered-down paint and just paint them myself by hand. I mean, I can get through a tombstone in no time, but it's not the way everybody does them, because it is, you know, people look at me and go, how do you do that? I'm like, 60-some tombstones in my yard. I've, you know, got some practice. But that's really all you do is just start and just, you know, kind of brush down on them.
Okay, so after you have, like, a coat of gray, or mm-hmm. you actually put two different coats of gray, and
right.
But you do it when they're all, when they're both wet, so that they
blend
in?
I age them when they're dry. I wait till they're completely dry. And I just take a watered-down black paint and a paintbrush, and sometimes like a rag. With me, if I put too much paint on, you just kind of wipe it. But it's really just a wiping effect with paint.
And each coat that we do on the main tombstone is we wait for it to dry. We usually use a paint sprayer to spray the black on so it gets in all the lettering.
Mm-hmm.
Coat them all in black, flat black, and then roller on. And then we use a a sea sponge roller.
Yeah, if you can find them, I highly recommend them. They're great.
Or you can do it with a sea sponge by
hand.
But we do so many sometimes that it's just easier to do it with a roller. But you want that sea sponge look for the dark gray and the light gray over the top of the black, and then you get kind of this speckled look when you're all done. And it really stands out. When you first spray them black, you can't see any of the lettering. And then you roll around the gray, and it just, and then all the lettering just kind of popped out.
It's like the cool thing when you're teaching somebody, you go, watch this, and they just, you look at their little eyes and go, ooh, I have an epitaph. Like, yes, you're just so good.
And how do you mount them in the ground?
What works best for us is I cut a groove using a hot wire knife in the back of the tombstone. So they're 2 inch thick, so we cut down maybe about an inch, 3/4 of an inch, and wide enough to hold a half inch piece of PVC. And then I take polyurethane glue and glue the PVC into the notch that we make. And we make two notches that are exactly 1 foot apart. So they're, the centers of those notches are right at 1 foot. And they're 18 inches long. And then sometimes I can take the foam that I cut out and put it back over the top and glue it down, sand it out. Or sometimes I'll put some expanding foam in the top of the notch. Or sometimes we'll just paint them black because you can't really see them anyway. And then we use 3/8 inch rebar, 3 feet long. Drive 18 inches of it into the ground, and the other 18 inches sticks up, and slide the tombstone over the top. And the reason why we make them all 1 foot wide is because when Chris gets out in the yard and we lay them all out, we don't care what order we put them in. We wait until we're all done, and then we just pick them up and move them and exchange them from place to place.
Yeah, I stand across the street and art direct from across the street.
So if one's blocking another one, or two epitaphs are too close together that are kind of similar, we move them around. And,
to the left!
Exactly.
My left or your left? That's left!
Exactly. And we even have a little tool that we built for driving the rebar to the ground so that they're spaced perfectly apart. So that's one of the minion jobs set up, is sledgehammer duty with rebar and the little spacer, and they're out there slamming all these rebars into the ground everywhere.
And whining they can't lift their hands above their heads the next day.
But it never ruins a tombstone when it's windy, and they don't move when it blows, and they stay secure. So we don't have any more problems with, you know, the backs of them busting out or popping off and falling out of the ground or wobbling in the wind. They look like they're permanently mounted.
Jeff, you ran the 3-axis Bucky Skull Seminar at Hong Kong this year?
Yes, I did.
Is this the first year doing that seminar? Have you been there before doing
our
workshops or what?
This was our third seminar at Hong Kong. The first one we did was just kind of an overview of our graveyard. Brought some sample props and then showed a whole bunch of slides of us making all the different stuff that we do. And then the second year we did a video effects seminar about all the video effects we do. And then this year I did the 3-axis skull. And the first year was probably the most popular. It was kind of a standing room only seminar. And we had tons of questions. And then the second year when we came back, we were doing this video head projection, which a lot of people were really interested in. It was pretty popular too. But we had some technical difficulties with the projector, the actual one that the AV guy leaves. And people started asking us questions about the graveyard. And we spent like 15 minutes talking about tombstones and monster mud. And then we eventually got to talk about video projection. And this year, the 3-axis Bucky Skull seminar was probably about 3/4 of the way full. And I think the people that attended really wanted to know everything about it. But I'd say over half those people had kind of this doe-eyed look in their eyes when I was giving the seminar. I'd look out of the audience and go, oh, okay, it's kind of deer in the headlights here. But everybody afterwards said, well, it's great learning how it works, but I'm never going
to
make one.
One of the listeners wanted me to ask you about the epitaph on the Gene J.R. Roberts gravestone and wanted to know if it was an actual person or not.
It was. It was my grandmother who has helped me with my yard for years, and she did pass away last year. And she was an airplane welder in World War II. So she welded airplanes. So we did actually do that one for her.
She was a Rosie. What did
she was.
She was a Rosie.
Yep.
In Wisconsin.
Cool.
So, yeah. So that was her tombstone. So she would have it no other way.
Another question someone wanted me to ask you was about the monk that you have with the video camera in the face. I mean, the TV screen in the face.
Uh-huh.
Where'd you get the idea for that?
From the movie Scrooged.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
With Bill Murray.
That was
the ghost that meets him in the elevator has got a TV in his head.
And we thought, wouldn't that be fun?
We call it Mudovision.
Mudovision. Is that like my Reedy?
Exactly.
Exactly. Mudo Vision.
Yeah. Mudo Vision is where you you drank all night.
We've never done that before.
Well, drinking was involved.
Coming
up with the name of the first place.
You passed out in your bed, and you woke up with Mudo Vision.
Yeah, when people ask us about stuff in the yard, we go, yeah, there probably was some drinking involved somewhere in almost any prop creation. I don't think we've designed one sober, really sober, ever.
Yeah, some of the great ideas happen late at night when you're sitting around.
Oh yeah, definitely. Have a cocktail or two, and then it's like an epiphany.
Exactly.
Wouldn't it be great if we? Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if we made the shop look like a church? That's where Jeff's looking at me, going, "I can't believe you talked me into that one."
Damn, that is a monstrous undertaking. Did that inspiration come from that Bad Boys Masonry seminar or something like that?
They showed us how you could do that, and they had been theater people. Jeff is also an ex-theater, techie theater person too, so he kind of understood the concept when they talked about making things out of panels. Because I think at the time we talked to them, they weren't taking down their haunt every year, but they used to have to. And so they used to build everything like a theater set. And so I went, really? I mean, you could take it down every year? And I'm looking at Jeff going, I can make my church just like that. So he came home and made me a little model. On our website, you'll see the big props always have little model props that are made out of foam core. Jeff will make those first just to actually prove that it actually can be made.
Your little mini-me church?
Mini-me. We have a mini-me. That's what's out for when the people come and look at the property and we're showing them how it's made. We have a little mini-me version to show how it was done.
And part of it was just because when Christopher said it, I'm thinking if we did it just out of 2-inch foam and we needed to know how many sheets it was going to be. And I thought, this is just outrageous. There's no way we can afford to do this. And then we built a panel using 1-inch foam and tested it out and said, you know, we could do it out of 1-inch foam. And that's how we ended up building it.
That's 1-inch formula?
1-inch white styrofoam, 4x8 sheet.
Oh, the white stuff. Okay.
Yeah, the white stuff. 16 panels, I believe.
25.
25 panels. Oh, excuse me. The engineer is telling me it's 25 panels.
What can we feast our eyes on this year at the Davis Graveyard? What's new coming up?
For the last couple of years, almost 3 or 4 years, we've had this head on a pedestal that does a little speech. A friend of ours recorded the speech, and we kind of wrote it with him and do the video effect on it. And it's just this head that comes alive and starts talking. But it's kind of the same speech every year. So this year, we know a group of guys that do a barbershop quartet, and we're asked them if they could write a couple of Halloween songs that we could actually use. And then we're going to record them individually singing and then carve up 4 heads on 4 different pedestals and do a whole musical number in the yard.
Oh, we're all over video projections. We've got 3 or 4 of them in the yard right now.
Yeah.
All our ghosts and stuff.
Doesn't require painting or making anything.
Is the mausoleum one another projector, or is that like a Pepper's Ghost style thing?
It's a projector. There's a rear projection screen material in the mausoleum, and there's a projector behind it.
Okay, so it shines on the back of the screen, and you can see it through the screen.
Yeah, just like the top of the shop, there's a ghost up there in the church. And basically the same thing, just a projector on reverse rear screen projection screen.
Yeah, well, sadly, we retired the flying crank ghost.
I know, it hurt. I didn't give it away. I'm so good at giving stuff away. That particular prop, I actually remembered to stop myself from giving it to somebody and said, you know, I actually have to keep this one, even if I never put it back up again.
Oh, we might someday.
Hey, it was awesome having you. Everybody is really excited to hear from you, and great. I will catch you guys around the net.
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
I'm gone now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Also, follow us on Instagram at hauntcast.channel. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at hauntcast. Join the hauntcast Facebook group. Links are in the show notes. And it would be a big help if you could share with all your haunt brethren. Until next time, stay scary.